Welcome to Illumini. I'm your host, Steve Kotfuss, part of Steve Kotfuss Photography. Illumini is where we have conversations with difference makers to explore, listen, learn, and enlighten. Podcasts are published on Podbean under the name Illumini. As a whole, I've been spending a lot of time kind of cleaning things up here and working on the Steve Kotfuss Photo website to try to better feature the different ways that I've enjoyed publishing storytelling through visuals like photography and videos, but also some of the blogging that actually I've been doing for more than a decade now, and also the podcasts. So trying to pull those together, organize the website, make it easier for people to visit and just check in on that. It's been fun to kind of see some of the older episodes of some of the blogs, and it's all about kind of learning and growing and developing. And I invite you to take a look at that if you're so inclined. This episode of Illumini, and it's a podcast where we have a conversation with Charlie Levine. Charlie is the new incoming development director at Friends of Gone Road. Charlie has a unique background as a mechanical engineer and an attorney, and he's stepping into his role as a team member with Friends of Gone Road, a largely board-driven, volunteer-driven organization that is doing some amazing work in Nairobi, Kenya. They have some very ambitious plans and are working towards doubling the impact of the organization in the next 5 years. So Charlie's going to be a big part of that from the development standpoint. I really enjoyed talking to Charlie, and I hope you too will get something out of this episode. Hi, everyone. I am here with Charlie Levine. Hi, Charlie. Charlie is the development director for Friends of Gone Road. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. It's really been fun to have conversations with different people who are with Friends of Gone Road over different episodes on Illumini. And today I want to talk with you because you're a new face and a new voice to the organization. And I'm really excited to talk to you and see what your observations are and what your thoughts are, what brought you here, and what your thoughts are about going forward with the organization.
Sounds great. Thanks.
So let's just do a quick little background, just so people get a little groundwork. This isn't a job interview, so I hope I don't come off. I don't want to grill you, but I'm really curious.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background, your history? What got you to this point in your life?
That's a good question, and one that I didn't plan. I grew up in New York City. I'm a New Yorker through and through. Went to engineering school at Cooper Union, law school at Brooklyn Law School, became a lawyer. I worked for 3M here in Minnesota for 11 years, and that's what took me from New York, pit stop in D.C., out here to Minnesota. And toward the end of that stint, I became a volunteer with the United Way, which really opened my eyes to who I was and what I get to do, which is I need to make a bigger impact in helping people. And in Judaism, there's a concept called tikkun olam, which means repairing the world. And rather than just be a lawyer, make good money, and give money away, for me, it was important to actually do the work of making the world a better place. The Boy Scouts call it leaving wherever you are better than the way you found it. And that's how I try to live my life as well. So I left lawyering and actually became a financial planner for about 4 years, working independently, helping people get out of debt and save for retirement. And that still wasn't enough. And so I made the final step to what I used to envision as my retirement volunteer job, which was working for nonprofits and making a difference. Although at the time, Sam was only 2 years old, so I still needed a salary. So I just decided to take the salary that came with my retirement job. And I've been working nonprofits for over 15 years now.
That's remarkable. And so what do you think brought you, like, say, I mean, a lot of people do go through their life and say, oh, well, you know, I can't do that kind of stuff. It sounds good. I'll do it as a volunteer. What made you really say you wanted to jump into this with 2 feet?
It's hard to really answer that. Other than, you know, as I say, it just feels like my mission in life is to do this. I've always loved people, and I have causes that are very close to me. The environment, children, and education are really the 3 top causes. And I've been involved in other organizations like the Nature Conservancy, where we're working to protect the environment, the Science Museum in Minnesota, where it was a lot about education programs and getting kids interested in science. And a whole bunch of things happened, obviously, over the last year. And saw this opportunity at Friends of Gong Road to be able to work directly in the areas of children and education. And more importantly and attractively for me, and I think for the job I'm going to be doing, is that so much of the work at Friends of Gong Road is based on creating a real personal one-to-one relationship between a donor, who we call sponsors in this case, and a child in Nairobi. And that's a relationship that can last 10 years while the child is in the program, and even longer. And all my life and throughout my career, I've heard people talk about how, yes, we're making a difference one life at a time. At Gong Road, that is the way we do it. It's not just an expression. It's really how we go about our work. And for me, that was very powerful.
So it's interesting, the disciplines that you're bringing into this are quite unique, I would think, from the standpoint that you have an engineering background, and was that mechanical?
And actually, you, it was, yes.
And you have a law background. So how do you think those are, how would you say those kind of unique, they're separate in and of themselves? So the crossover from those two things sounds unique. You've kind of now paired those two things with now the nonprofit side. What are things that you feel like you learned or practiced in your past disciplines that you're bringing forward to this role?
Thanks for asking that, even though you said this wouldn't be a job interview.
It's hard not to, because it's curiosity, right?
It is. It's not a problem. For me, the common denominator with all of this is solving problems. And even as a kid, I've always liked brain teasers and things like that. And engineering is about solving scientific problems, and law is about solving people problems and just bringing parties together. The nonprofit world is the same thing. It's also problems, and it's about just taking skills that I've learned and improved upon over the years to where I can solve problems via everything I've learned within the context of, here's an organization that's looking to help children. And obviously there's a lot of basic skills from engineering and law that carry over to life, and they're just great life skills. That gives me I see it as an advantage in terms of the way I come at problems and being able to look at them from different sides and see different possible solutions.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I think, you know, there's become a greater appreciation for people who have multidisciplinary backgrounds, you know, especially as you go, as we get older, right? Because we've had our different travels in life, and we can use those different dimensions to look at things in new ways. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that really ties in with one of my just general personality traits is I like diversity and variety. So maybe that's why I have trouble staying with one career at a time. But it's also why I like doing these different things, and also the role I'm in as a development director, not just pigeonholed into working with individual donors or working with the database or working with grants, but really looking at the whole picture and figuring out how to best put it together along with the rest of the staff and volunteers.
Well, I know it's super early for me to for you to be able to fully answer this question, but that doesn't mean I don't get to ask it. What do you see that your role is going to be with this organization?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I guess my answer, I'll give you my answer and we'll see how the organization treats it. This is just my third week here with the organization. And one of the great things about it is that it's volunteer led and the board members all take a very real responsibility for the organization. We only have 4 paid staff. It's actually the board who fill the positions of chief executive officer, operating officer, technology, marketing, HR, and they're really involved. Part of that means that we're a very decentralized organization. We don't have a physical office here in Minnesota or the United States. The great news is that we don't have a lot of overhead. We can spend so much more money on the actual programs themselves. From the development standpoint, I see my role as helping to provide a more uniform framework and a system for us to look at all the various ways that we fundraise. For example, the sponsors that I mentioned with the one-on-one relationship with the kids, general donors, the various appeals. We're looking to start a planned giving campaign as well as a campaign for just having people be sustaining or multiple year donors. And so being able to organize that in a way that's most effective for us, but more importantly, that's effective for our donors and supporters, that treats them as best as we can and builds upon our relationships with them based on what they are looking for rather than what fits neatly into our spreadsheets.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned before about your experiences with some of United Way. And I know that early in my own personal career, I worked for a nonprofit planning organization of which the United Way was 1/3 of the funding source. The city was another 1/3 and the county was another 1/3. So the people at United Way were such pros. And it was such a joy to work. This was in Columbus, Ohio for myself, but I really got to appreciate the sense of systems and infrastructure and thoughtfulness and planning. And there's so many different entities that they deal with. And I suppose that you, having been exposed to that, you do have a larger systems approach experience that you're bringing to this role.
Yes, and that's a good area where my engineering background really does come in and just making it all work together and work efficiently. That's something that I always tend to focus on as well as efficiency. And as I grow over the years, I'm learning that efficiency doesn't always equal effective, particularly when dealing with people. But that's the even bigger picture is taking these systems and working with the people and having it all work so that everybody wants to help us with the great work. There's nobody's going to say no. What we're doing isn't important, but they may have other interests, and that's fine. Other interests, but I want to make sure that there are no mechanical reasons or no logistical reasons why they wouldn't support us that put roadblocks up in their way.
You know, I'm not sure how. I don't want to put too much importance in this question, but I have to beg to ask because. I think it's a challenge that I've struggled with in the past, and that is, why are you interested in an organization that's helping someone whose problems exist in Kenya? While look at the mess that we live in. How do you approach that?
I've thought about that for many years, and again, I'll go back to the engineering view is one where we're all on the same planet. And I don't mean to sound cliche about it, but the way my mind is wired, I don't see that the life of my neighbor 2 houses down is more valuable than the one on the other side of the Twin Cities or the other side of the country or the other side of the world. If we all work at what we want to work at. And if everybody has a cause and supports it, for some people, they don't have that mindset. They look at, well, what's in my backyard is more important. Great, they'll be able to do that. And I tend to think that's probably a more popular mindset. So I'll get to take the less popular route and work on people elsewhere, and we'll all eventually meet together and we'll build that wonderful world that we all wish we lived in.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. We are all connected, aren't we? I think that's the part about Gone Rogue that we found going through, and I say we because I'm pretty involved as a volunteer myself, but I think that's one of the things that the organization has recognized is that since its inception, it was the connections between the sponsors and the students and the organization and its sister organization, Gone Rogue Children's Foundation, that were paramount to its purpose and functioning. And in some ways, that mindset is living itself out more today than ever. Because look, we are not sitting at a coffee shop right now. We're talking on Zoom. And you just might as well be in Kenya and me in Timbuktu. But that's the part that's interesting is I feel like the organization's established a structure that's always tried to enable and develop and nurture relationships regardless of space.
Yeah. And in fact, over the weekend, we received our first new sponsorship donation since I came aboard. And it came from a 9-year-old living north of Perth, Australia, who heard about us. And more importantly, his parents were originally from Kenya. And he wanted to do something for the kids there, found our organization, and they became a sponsor, as I say, just a couple of days ago. And that's really the power of what we can do by not just focusing on our small neighborhood where we live or work, but enables us to bring in so many more people who might otherwise not have a way to make this kind of a difference.
That is pretty remarkable. That's pretty remarkable. I know that I've had the advantage or the opportunity to visit Nairobi 4 times now. And so usually when I've been there, I've also met other sponsors and they're from all around the world. I mean, there was just a profile of a couple who lives in Spain. And one of the couple, he was originally from Iowa, but he's lived in Spain for most of his life. And there was another, anyway, people do come from all around the world. I'm wondering, how do you see that from a standpoint of kind of development, looking at the world versus the local? I know the organization first was family and friends. You know, It was Paula and who she knew and her network. But the organizations and the number of kids that are being sponsors has really grown because of its success. How do you see growing upon those roots to this kind of global market that you feel like, we're living in now?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think my answer, it sort of leads into one of the earlier questions about what I see myself doing, which is that I see that going forward, that's going to be a big part of my role, is expanding us beyond the immediate friends and family and just the community generally, and being able to find people for whom this is an important issue, they want to make a difference. And doing it through the web, through other contacts, and just finding people that aren't just in Minnesota, which is really good. One of the benefits, frankly, coming out of our isolation over this past year is that we're all becoming more comfortable with working remotely and with doing things via the web. And with that is the ability to expand our philanthropy beyond what we ordinarily see and do in our physical neighborhoods. So I'm thinking that with this, people get more comfortable, we can wind up increasing the support that we get for the children in Nairobi.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. I know. And it's, and I know I'm asking a lot of questions. You've been around for 3 weeks and you're not supposed to have all the answers, right?
Well, I don't think I'll ever have all the answers, although I sometimes joke that I always have the answer. And most of the time, the answer is, I don't know. Let me find out.
That sounds fair. That sounds fair. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your personal background. You've lived in the Minnesota, St. Paul area for several years. Do you have a family? Just any kind of the background information that might give a sense of who is the Charlie Levine?
Okay. Well, yes, I have now lived in Minnesota for more than half my life. Spent almost half in New York City and a few years in Washington, D.C. in between. I'm married and happily married for 20 years now to Marjorie Dana Levine. And we have four kids. Howie is 30, Rachel is 27, Sam is 17, and Elon is 8, which is a big spread and sort of illustrates my love for, certainly my love for children. And just, I really enjoy nurturing and taking care of people. And on some levels, I sometimes look at my family as sort of the testing ground for bringing Charlie out into the world and making a difference there too. But I just love having kids. I tend to be childlike. Sometimes my wife can say childish, and she's correct. But I may be older, but I don't have to grow up. And I've always lived that way, much to the chagrin of a lot of my close friends. But I like to have a good time. I love making people smile and laugh. And I don't mind if I look silly in the process. The best aspect about me is I am a New York Mets fan, which means I do not like the Yankees. But it also means I've lived a very troubled, up and down, mostly down decades, living and dying, mostly dying with the Mets. So we'll see what the future brings there.
I had the pleasure of being able to go into the Shea Stadium the last year was around. When I was visiting one time, I went to the U.S. Open one night, and then we went to Shea Stadium the next, and that was a real thrill. And it was before the new ballpark. Which bank is it named after now?
City Field.
Yeah, City Field. Yeah, but it was you could tell it was ready to go up. I mean, it was in the works, so it was pretty exciting. I think there is something to be said about having to endure teams that are not always the bright spot. I, probably living in Minnesota, you have been able to embrace some of that too.
Yeah, the Vikings do that to me here locally. Yes.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Good practice for life.
That's right. Well, you know, and that's reality. You know, I shoot a lot of high school sports, and you know, one of the things I remember learning was only one team at the end of the season ends up with a win. You're going to lose a lot more than you win in life, and how you manage those losses really is what makes your character.
And being in fundraising, there's a lot of losses. A lot of people say, no, we're not interested. No, not now. And my philosophy is, that's great. That takes me that much closer to the next yes.
That's great. That is a great attitude. So I don't know if you have this. This might be hard, but are there three words that you would use to describe you? How would you summarize yourself? Or even maybe better, what three words would others use to describe you? Maybe that's another way to look at it.
You take a pick. I prefer looking at it through my own eyes. It's a lot nicer that way. As you were asking that question, I'm going through my brain in interview mode. Okay, which three do I say? But interestingly, the three words that popped up right away were open, honest, and loving. And that I may not always get there, but that's who I strive to be. I think one part of my personality that comes out a lot that people who are close to me would also add is I'll go with witty. I think funny is a much higher bar to achieve. But I do like having fun, and I do like getting the job done. And I've said this at other places where I work. The work we do, for example, at Gong Road is serious, but it doesn't have to be solemn. We can still have fun while doing important work. And that's also something that I think makes me Charlie.
Awesome. Those are really good. I don't think I'd be able to answer that question right now, so I'm going to ask me. So I'm glad you didn't mind me putting you on the spot there. So
not at all.
I'm curious, how did you even find out about Gong Road? Because it's not a very big organization. And did you have some relation to the organization beforehand, or was it more through your traditional job networking, or how did that happen for you?
For me, it was through the more traditional job networking. I was looking to make a move from where I was. And so looking for the right position, as I alluded to before, looking for something where I could get variety. But most importantly, and I'm at a stage in my life where I don't need to take something just because it's a job, and I don't need to take something that's outside my passion areas. And when I saw Gong Road, almost fell in love right away.
What was it that made you fall in love right away? I'm really curious.
It was a number of things. It was the volunteer-led part of it, and not right away, but as I had conversations, realizing that this is a board unlike any I've worked with or sat on before, where the board isn't there to fulfill a duty or to pad their resume. The board is there to make a difference, and they're going to work really hard. And that is a fantasy come true for me in having a board like that. But the mission, children, education, the one-on-one aspect, it was wonderful. And if I could say the one question, not about the organization, but if this had come up a year ago before I experienced working from home and working by myself, I probably wouldn't have applied, because I couldn't imagine, being as extroverted as I am, wanting to just work from home. But over the past 6 months, I've learned that that's not as terrible as it seems, and there are ways to make that work, and the technology is great. So I applied right away and was very excited that it's moved in the direction it has, and that any day now I'll see my first paycheck.
That sounds awesome. Well, it sounds like Gong Road is very fortunate to have found you, and to be able to, you know, have someone who comes in with your background and skill set. So I know the organization's had some wonderful people in the past, and, you know, like any kind of organization, you know, it's like a start. It was a startup. You know, it follows that curve, right? It's a startup, and then it's emerging, and then it gets a little bit, but there's still some pretty aggressive growth objectives that are in front of it, aren't there?
There are, and I'm optimistic that we'll be able to achieve them. Right now, we're most of the way through putting together a plan we're calling currently Vision 2025, where we're seeking to double the impact that we have by 2025, the number of kids we serve, the number of alumni, and that translates to me personally with increasing fundraising and increasing gifts and endowments, et cetera. So I'm excited about what the next 5 years is going to look like.
And I imagine within that 5 years, there's a time as possible for you to be able to go to Kenya and to Nairobi, to the neighborhoods where these kids live, and meet some of them.
I sure hope so. When we talked, when I was being interviewed, I was asked if I wanted to go, and I said absolutely. And both from a personal selfish, I like travel, so I'd love to see that part of the world. I haven't been there. But more importantly, my ability to work with the organization and to make better connections to our supporters is going to increase tremendously by actually going and seeing the program and being able to tell that story rather than just, well, I read about it, but actually being there and experiencing it and meeting the kids. So that can't come soon enough for me.
That sounds wonderful. I know that going there, it is one of those things like any experience, you experience it for yourself and then you try to tell others about it. Mm-hmm. And it always falls short of the actual experience. But boy, it's one of those things that I haven't met anybody who's ever been there who hasn't felt like it's really touched them and made them embrace the issues and the organization and the people that much more. So I look forward to when things open up from a COVIDian standpoint, as you'll be able to make those travels. So that'll be really exciting. I wonder if there's anything you would like to say in closing.
Don't have anything profound to say other than I've discovered Friends of Gung Road and the great work that we do. And I'm thrilled to be able to say it's work that we do because I'm part of it now. And if this is something that is of interest to you, if you are interested in making a serious and major difference in the lives of children and in the lives of particular children, I encourage you to look into the work we do or inquire about it and see if it's for you.
Wonderful. Well, it's really been nice to get to meet you, Charlie. We'll be broadcasting this podcast next week, and we'll give people a chance to get a sense a little bit for the first time who you are. So thanks again.
Wonderful. Thank you, Steve. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, that was a fun conversation. I hope you enjoyed hearing about Charlie. If you want to learn more about Friends of Gung Road and their impact on transforming lives of so many in Nairobi, Kenya, visit the website, which I'll provide as a link on this podcast. Thanks again for listening. As always, I really appreciate the feedback I get from you as listeners. It's helpful to hear what you like and maybe what I can improve upon. And again, if you have ideas for future podcasts, please don't hesitate to let me know. I hope that you all have a healthy and safe Thanksgiving in the coming week. I know that for pretty much all of us, it's going to be smaller than usual, but hopefully everyone remains healthy and well and protects themselves and their family and their friends. And Thanksgiving is a time of being grateful, and I'm grateful for the small things. I think it's one of those times where we're all coming to appreciate and treasure the small things. So until next time, take care. Achakowoth madhika wora Gimaneno nalama biro pindirumo.